Today's reading begins in Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In our last devotional, we talked about the parable of the great banquet. And there was all these that were being invited, and they made excuses. They didn't show up. And that was the Jews. And he turned around and began to invite the Gentiles, those that in the story are the lame and the poor and those that are on the highways and hedges and all these different places that normally were not the accepted of society, or they might have been outcasts, or in terms of Jews and Gentiles, the Jews didn't accept the Gentiles. So he has finished up that section talking about the invitation to the kingdom. But now in verse 25, he starts talking about what it takes to really be a disciple of Jesus. And this is some of the more difficult teaching of Jesus, because he says something very shocking. He says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother," I mean, who hates their parents? If somebody says they hate their parents, we're concerned about them being, you know, psychopathic or something like that. You know, one of these people that doesn't have the care and the concern that they ought to have. And that's because your parents, you know, for the most part, they take care of you. They provide for you. So that's the case with most people and their parents. So for him to say, if you don't hate your father and mother, you can't come to me, that sounds deviant. It sounds terrible. He even goes on to say, yeah, and your wife and children. I mean, who hates their immediate family? Who hates their children? And brothers and sisters, and now even his own life. If you don't hate all of these, you can't be my disciple. That's shocking. Why would I hate myself? I mean, if I really hated myself, why would I even care if I got into the kingdom? Understand, he's not really talking about hate. Not the way we think of it. He's not talking about hate where it's just, you know, passionate anger and you know, ill will towards someone or something. No, he's talking about priorities. He says, if it came down to it, would you leave behind mom and dad? Would you leave behind wife and children if for some reason they were preventing you from attending the banquet, from being in the kingdom? Even your brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. If you had to give up your own life in order to be able to get into the kingdom, would you be willing to pay that kind of price? So this is shocking, but we need to put it in that context and understand that Jesus teaches love, and so we can't say that he's telling us to hate everything. So we have to come to an understanding that he's just talking about that priorities, and you have to love God more than you love all these people, and yes, even your own life. And so he says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So as he finished talking about the great banquet, everybody would be saying, yeah, I would take the invitation. I want to go. And now he says, would you really? Would you really go? let's think about that for a moment. There's a cost to going to the banquet. There's a cost to getting into the kingdom. And he says, in order to be a disciple, you need to evaluate that cost. And he illustrates this. If you're going to build a tower, don't you figure out if you've got enough money and materials to get it finished? Last year when we moved into our house, I had this idea in mind that I wanted this shed out back. And remember that we moved into that house just before the pandemic started. And do you remember what happened soon after the pandemic? Lumber prices went way up. I mean, a $2 stud was now $6, sometimes even more. So I had an amount that was budgeted in order to build that shed. We were going to buy the materials and we were going to do it. Then all of a sudden, that budget was only one-third of what it needed to be in order to finish the project. Here we are a year later, I don't have a shed in my backyard. I decided that I wasn't willing to pay that kind of cost, that I would wait. And hopefully, those lumber prices would come back down, or sooner or later, I'd have to readjust that budget. I really wasn't thinking it was going to take a year or more. But that's what we're talking about in building something and evaluating the cost. Do you have enough? Do you have enough materials? Do you have enough funds? Do you have enough labor? Because what does it feel like to start the project and you can't finish it? So let's just say that I took that amount that I budgeted for that shed. And I know that it's not enough anymore because lumber has gone up. So I decide, hey, I'll just go buy what I can. So, you know, I'll buy the foundation and I'll buy the beams that go under it. I'll buy the subfloor and maybe I'll buy the studs for the wall. We'll get started there and then we'll come back to it later. Now, if I had done that and then you come over to my house a year later and you look in my backyard and you see the beginnings of a shed. You see the floor, you see the walls, you don't see anything else. And you begin to say, hey, you started a new shed. And I have to say, well, actually, I started that a year ago and I ran out of money and materials. I don't think I'd feel very good about telling you that. I think I'd be a bit embarrassed. And what would happen to all those materials? They'd sit out in the weather and they would get damaged. And then sooner or later, it's a waste of money because it's going to be ruined. You can't use it. That's the idea behind this tower. Do you not first sit down and count the cost, whether you have enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. This man began to build and was not able to finish. And he illustrates it another way with the king. A king comes against another king in war. Is he not going to first figure out, hey, how big an army does this guy have? Can I even match him on the battlefield? And he says, would he be able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? If you're outnumbered 2-1, you probably don't want to get in that battle. It's not even about just losing the battle. It's about losing your whole army. And so when he's a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So his conclusion is verse 33. Any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. God is not necessarily calling you to live a destitute life with nothing, with no family, no friends, no money, no house, no anything. Now, for some, that's a possibility. But for most of us, no. But for the person who has nothing, it's easier to sacrifice for the kingdom than it is for the person who does have things. Because we have an attachment to our families and our things. And yes, even our own lives. He says, you have to realize that accepting the invitation to that banquet is not just showing up. Accepting that invitation to the banquet has a cost. And if you're not willing to pay the cost, then don't bother to come. You need to be willing to pay the cost. Understand, it's worth it. Being in the kingdom is worth it. But you've got to realize that. It's not enough for me to say it. you have to realize it's worth the cost. Thank you for listening today, and I hope that you will think about this and pray about this as the day goes on, that perhaps we can pray for the perseverance to remain true to Jesus so that we don't fall by the wayside because of the cost. And of course, as I always state, please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.